Well, all four Gospels give us the same main story, repeated over and over again, and that helps having four of them. It's good that they're not word for word, and that some of them add a little bit more details, because that shows they are not copying from one another. They have the same main story, but the details show that there were four different authors, four different witnesses testifying to the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to have some details today as we study Luke's version. The main section of Easter Sunday will be the same. The ladies will come to the tomb, and then Peter and John will also run to the tomb. But then on the Emmaus Road later, that one is only in Luke. So the first section, that's in all of them. The second section, which we will not do every verse of it because it's too long, but that one's only in Luke. So let's look at Luke 24, and we'll have the ladies come to the tomb, and that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, emphasized in all of them. And we will look at the first 10 verses to begin. 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has arisen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Verse 10, now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. First day of the week, Sunday. Resurrection was on a Sunday. Later in the book of Acts, Pentecost will be on a Sunday, and they will start the Christian church. The habit of Christianity has been to worship on the first day of the week, on Sundays, changing from the Jewish Sabbath and going to Sundays. It's not a command that it has to be done. So if some people want to have a church service on a different day, they could have it on a different day. But it's been that way right from the Easter Sunday, right in the book of Acts, where Acts 20, verse 7, that Paul gathered them together to have communion on Sunday. So these ladies are coming out. Verse 10 gives their names. Mary Magdalene is often stressed. Mary, the mother of James, probably James the Lesser. You have Peter, James, and John, the more important James. Then you have James the Lesser, but probably his mother. And then there is a reference to these also earlier. Luke does it twice. He likes to stress ladies and stress children. That's why the Christmas story is the way it is in the Gospel of Luke. And he liked to stress these ladies' names also back in Luke chapter 8. And there he adds that Joanna was the wife of Herod's treasurer. Well, that's not on the top, but not on the bottom either, to say that the wife of the national treasurer is the one going to the tomb. So that's another on a long list of things that had to be true, or you couldn't put it in a book. It had to be true, or the rest of the book would not be believable. But the treasurer's wife went to the tomb to look. So they look inside and they are not prepared to see it empty and the tomb open. Maybe they expected soldiers, or maybe they did not know about it, but they do not see the body of Jesus. Two dazzling looking people. They are humans in verse 2, but later in verses 22 and 23, the same are called angels. And in the other accounts, they're angels. In the Bible, angels in heaven can be very weird looking. Book of Ezekiel has the most on it, like Ezekiel chapter 10. Four faces. Number one, cherub face. Number two, human face. Number three, lion face. Number four, eagle face. Really weird looking angels in heaven, and they had like gyroscope wheels underneath them turning around. Just on earth, though, the angels looked more like humans, but glistening humans. So they looked like humans, but a little different than humans. Their appearance in reality is probably more like what they look like in heaven, but when they come to earth, they look like this. And they remind the ladies that Jesus taught you when he was on earth that he would die on the third day and rise again. Jesus did teach about the third day earlier in this same book, Luke 9:22, also Matthew 12:40, Jonah in the stomach of the whale for 3 days, the Son of Man will be in the grave for 3 days and come alive again. Wonder about day three in the Old Testament. Not quite day three, but really close. In Psalm 16, it says the Holy One would not see corruption. And in Jewish culture, corruption begins on day four. So that's kind of a way of saying it had to be day three or before, where the Holy One would come alive again. And in verse 8, the women remember that Jesus had taught this. The women so far know about the empty tomb, and they're going to run and tell the apostles, and Peter will also have seen the empty tomb. Not Jesus yet, but they saw the empty tomb, and now they come and tell the apostles. And I put verse 11 by itself because this is their response. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Very often, commentaries on this say that women's testimony in Jewish courts of that time was not given as much weight as men. That women at that time were considered to be hysterical and mixed up, and if they came sawing an empty tomb and Jesus might be alive, and they come back, and it's kind of like, kind of mixed up. Kind of stressed in all four Gospels that the women were the first to see. And at this time, women were not as believable as men, and they all thought that it was kind of nonsense there in verse 11. Now, if you are writing a fictional story, a make-believe story about Jesus, you would not put in that women were the first to see the empty tomb. It's not quite the same way now, but in those days, you would not put that first unless that is actually what happened, that they saw an empty tomb and then came back and gave a report. So there are a number of things like this that had to be true, like Lazarus was in town after his own funeral, and the ladies were the first to see the empty tomb. Had to have been true. Verse 12, Peter runs, although in the Gospel of John, it's both Peter and John. So verse 12, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So stress is Peter ran to the tomb. John 20, Peter and the younger disciple, who is the witness, who is the author of the book of John. So Peter and the younger John both run. It seems like they knew right where the tomb is. And Joseph of Arimathea would know where his tomb was, and they all run to the same tomb. Skeptics will say the women went to another tomb that was empty and got all mixed up and came back. However, if they went to the wrong tomb, then the soldiers were still guarding the right tomb. And Jesus' body was in that tomb. So you can't say they went to the wrong tomb. Joseph of Arimathea would have known where his tomb was that he gave to use for Jesus. And if they went to the wrong tomb, then the right tomb would have had guards all around it, and they could have turned it into an exhibit and say, these ladies are all mixed up, and Peter and John are all mixed up. So the tomb was empty. And how did it get empty? Book of Matthew only says that the disciples stole the body. But of course, as we go through the history of the early church, no one was ever arrested for grave robbing, and Pilate evidently did not believe the guards that the body was stolen, and it really wouldn't make any sense that they could get in there and open that stone and roll it away without any noise while the guards are sleeping. Guards did not sleep. It was the death penalty to sleep. The story didn't make any sense. They went to the correct tomb. Peter and John, Peter only here, John in the Gospel of John, went to the correct tomb. They saw the linen wrappings, and in the Gospel of John, they saw the face cloth. The face cloth all folded up. That's another little detail that wouldn't make any sense about any grave robbing. Come in, and the soldiers are still sleeping while you have to have a horse pull up the rock or a bunch of axes, and that didn't make any sense. And would any grave robbers fold all these cloths? And the Gospel of John makes stress that the face cloth was folded. So the women keep running back, and they tell the Peter and John, and they run back, and so far they've seen the empty tomb. Right away, there will start to be witnesses to see Jesus. You think some of the women must have gone back to the tomb, and there's appearance of Mary Magdalene, and one appearance to Peter alone, referenced in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke adds that there were two disciples on the Emmaus Road. We are going to review the Emmaus Road, but just read five or six verses about it and stress that Jesus was telling them they have to believe the Bible. But regarding the whole Emmaus Road story, there were two of them walking. They did not recognize Jesus in verse 16. It could be God prohibited recognition for a while. And so he walks along with them, and they say, haven't you not heard what happened in Jerusalem? Because everybody knew it. All of these things were rather public. One of them's name is Cleopas, verse 18. It could be different than Clopas. But Clopas is mentioned in the Gospel of John. There's one letter difference. If it's the same person, it seems like one of Jesus' uncles was named Clopas. It could be two men walking, but it could be a married couple. And then if you think Cleopas and Clopas are the same, it could have been Jesus' aunt and uncle. Regardless of this, they were walking along and did not recognize Jesus, and he start to tell him and about what happened, and then his response is in verse 24 and following. Verse 24, the disciples on the Emmaus Road said, somebody saw an empty tomb, and then Jesus answered, Verse 24, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Some have seen the empty tomb, and they had disciples on the Emmaus Road had already heard about Peter and John, and also the ladies. And Jesus' response is to call them fools for not believing everything the Old Testament had taught, especially about the Messiah would suffer and the Messiah would rise again. Fools would be nonsense. There's more than one Greek word for fool. This one is actually has the word notion in it. You have a nonsense or no notion of what is going on. And he said they should have believed all the scriptures. The Old Testament prophecies did say that the Messiah would come and be the king of all the world. But Jesus also pointed out to them the Old Testament prophecies said the Messiah would come and suffer. Isaiah 53, be like a lamb to the slaughter, pour out his soul unto death. Psalm 22, they would hurt his hands and feet. Daniel 9:26, the Messiah would be cut off. So they listened to part of the prophecies, but the other part was the Messiah first would be rejected. He had told them that. And foolish not to believe all of it. The main lesson is Jesus rose from the dead, and we will become like him someday. He could eat food, and part of the story. He could walk through doors, part of the story. But also part of the story is they have to believe all of the Bible. He will say that again to them. We'll look at verses 31 and 32. Then their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Heartburn in a good sense, in the sense of understanding and being happy about discovering things and getting the answers. And he told us the scriptures. They're going to run right back. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, so evidently they could walk and eat dinner and strong enough to go right on back. They're going to go on back and tell the rest of them. It says in verse 33, they found the 11. Judas is gone. I would assume that Thomas was there when the ladies got there, and then Thomas went right away. And these two men tell them, and Thomas runs right away. And Jesus stood in their midst when Thomas is gone. There's a stress on a biological body. Verses 36 and following, here's hands, here's feet, and flesh and bones. Some philosophies have life after death, but don't believe in biological life after death. But of course, the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, stress biological life after death with taking sin away from us and taking limitations away from us. But the stress on Jesus is that there is a physical resurrection from the dead. He did not need to have sin taken away, but he would have a glorified body and look more shiny and look more dazzling, still eat, come and go. Verses 44 and following, stress on the Bible again. Let's look at that for our last section. Verse 44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance, we'd say turning, repentance, turning to Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. The main truth here is Jesus had witnesses after he rose again, but he keeps teaching about the Bible. He had already taught about the Bible that not one stroke of the law will need to be changed, will pass away. Not one stroke of the law will fail. It will be infallible, and everything will happen. Luke 16, 17, and there are other references in Matthew 5, 18. We'd say not one jot, not one tittle, it will all come to pass. Another thing here is Jesus gives the Old Testament books, Moses, would be the law, the prophets, and the writings that begin with the book of Psalms. That is still the way Jewish people categorize the Old Testament. It will say the law, Torah, prophets, Nevi'im, writings, Ketubim. It says that on the back spine of the Hebrew Bibles. We use the same Old Testament books that the Jews used. We use the same Old Testament books that Jesus used. At least the Catholics and Orthodox have the New Testament books, kind of more important in the life of Jesus, but they do add books to the Old Testament. And so things like the Maccabees and so on, they were good for history, but really were not in the Jewish Old Testament. And Jesus stresses the Jewish Old Testament. Salvation is of the Jews, he told the woman at the well, and the Samaritans had their own Bible books too. So telling her salvation of the Jews is that they had the correct Old Testament verses. So Jesus' main lesson here is he is alive again. He had many witnesses. Women were listed as the first witness because it is true. That would not have been put in a fictional account. They came. Then Peter and John ran. All saw the tomb as empty. It had to have been empty. Otherwise, the guards would have shown where the real body was. And yet, stealing the body while they were sleeping made no sense. And the women are stressed here. And then Peter and John are stressed here. And then he starts to appear over and over again. Finally, repentance, turning to Jesus as Savior, turning away from anything stopping from turning to Jesus. We can't say repentance is works, that you have to clean up your life totally to be saved, but people do have to turn away enough to turn to Jesus, to trust in Him as Savior. And then verse 47 is kind of the Great Commission. Go tell it to all the people. So we will ask God today that many people do trust in Him. I don't know how many people will go to all churches. We hope that most of them will be faithful. I did, just for the grandkids, look at the World Almanac. There are 2.8 billion people that say they're Christians. Now, not all people who say they are Christians do believe in Jesus, but they have a hope to listen today. And we will pray that many do trust in Him. Will the musicians please come?